I'm going to take you to our reading this morning, really short reading, four or five verses or so, but loads to think about, loads here, so let me give you that now. We're in Colossians 4. Essentially what we're looking at here is that Paul has been doing a lot of talking about Jesus and how he changes our lives, and we're new people, and we're different, and it affects everything we do. It affects how you live in your family. It affects how you go to work. It affects how you come to church. And at this point, he switches view from the church to those outside the church. So this is what he says about that. This is Colossians 4. I'm going from verse 2. So Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Amen. The recent news about PCI and safeguarding feelings has pushed the church to a very important moment of reflection. We have had an outward personality for years. Our devotion to Christ, our love for his people, a concern that the Great Commission would spread all across this island. But inwardly, we have been sloppy. We had good safeguarding policies in place, but we didn't always follow them. We've had Jesus at the head of our church, but we haven't always listened to him. We've listened to the voices and personalities of men too much. And in some cases, the wrong people were protected. Victims of all kinds and all kinds of issues were dismissed or ignored. But let me say this to you, Bally Gilbert. The news doesn't fully know what it's talking about. We're talking about a full range of problems here, from the safeguarding of children, yes, but all the way up to the safeguarding of vulnerable adults and the elderly. That's part of this story as well. And in between, you've also got all the issues with helping people with criminal convictions who want to come back to church. We have a whole prisons ministry in PCI, and we serve those people as much as we serve those outside prison. And then as well, folks, there's the usual nonsense of some trying to write the agenda for the church instead of listening to Scripture. These are the people who get interviewed on the BBC or who call into the Nolan Show. I want to say to you, large pinch of salt there, folks. Large pinch of salt. That's big picture, isn't it? Things slip for us as well. If we don't soak ourselves in God's word, but when we feel the return every day to its pages, we drift from its message. The inside starts to get lost from the outside. They don't match anymore. And that's also, by the way, why you can't come to church once in a while or once or twice a year. It's not enough. So I want to come to this short section of Colossians that is the cure. It is the answer to all of this. This is who we're to be and what we're to do. And that's for genuine Christian people. If you're pretending to live a Christian life, you'll hate this message this morning. It will show you up. It will put its finger on the disconnect between your outer life and your inner life. You won't like it. But if you're serious about Jesus, you'll love this. You'll feel a lovely tug on your soul that wants to draw you into a full life of faith and service in Christ's kingdom. You'll want that. You'll want it for yourself. You'll want it for others, for everyone from your family and friends to your neighbors, the strangers on the streets of Bangor, Ards, and Hollywood, and even your school chums and your work colleagues. So let me give it to you straight. We're to devote ourselves to prayer. Now, what might seem simple here with a call to pray actually needs to be understood properly. You see, a devotion to prayer is something to do with habit rather than intensity. It's not about intensity. Sometimes you hear this in the world. You hear of a special prayer gathering, or there's a call online for many people to pray for something. And lots of people see this as an application of this verse, to devote ourselves to prayer. You see it online when someone gets sick or a crisis strikes, and we think, you know what, we really need to pray and pray hard. There's an intensity that we think is behind that word. But that's not what Paul means. That is not what Paul is talking about here. Put that out of your mind, please. What he's doing here is calling us to a habit of prayer. Devoting yourself to prayer is not about praying hard, but about praying with perseverance. Christians pray out of habit, not panic. It's not a bad way to think about it. We pray out of habit, not panic. Now, don't mishear me, folks. You can respond to emergencies and crises with our prayers. We should do that, yes. But if that's the only kind of praying that you know, then you're not acting out of faith. You're acting out of fear. The biblical notion of prayer is conversation. It's talking. And talking is not something you only do in emergencies, right? Imagine only talking to your family when there was something wrong. That wouldn't make any sense. And it's why our conversation, our prayer life, our conversation with God should be any different. You know, again and again, the Bible tells us things like this. Jesus tells the disciples that they should always pray and not give up. Paul tells the Thessalonians to pray continually. And it's a church activity. Don't think of that as an individual thing. You can pray by yourself, but it's a church activity as well. Here's part of Acts. They, the church, devoted themselves to all sorts of things, but look at the last one, to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. Or the Romans are told, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. What Paul adds to this devotion idea also confirms that it's real Christians who pray, not just the part-timers. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Watchful and thankful color the prayer here. To be watchful is about being awake or alert. I remember seeing some graffiti scratched into a desk in the library at Stranmillis when I was a student, and it said, stay alert, the world needs alerts. Now, that's a wee bit silly, but in some sense, that's right. Being awake, being alert, is the Christian sense of the times we live in. It's mindful that Jesus is coming back. That's serious stuff, isn't it? But can you feel how that idea feeds the kind of prayer we're talking about here? It's a constant staying in touch kind of talk. The girls and I were at a concert in Dublin on Friday night, and we drove down, we had a great time at the gig, and then we drove home again. It was a late one. But the whole time, Joanne was in touch with us. Let me know when you arrive. Send me a message when you're leaving. The weather's bad here, take care driving. And our messages were the same back. We've arrived, we found our seats. The girls are having a great time. That's us finished, we're heading home. A constant staying in touch, watchful and thankful. And that's prayer. Keeping in touch with God. It carries the same message. Jesus is coming again, and his homecoming governs and motivates our prayers. Now, added to that is thankfulness. A quick word on thankfulness. It's actually a feeling that weaves itself through this whole letter. If you were to go home today and read the whole of Colossians, you would hear the thankfulness note being hit fairly hard. Paul keeps saying things like this. He's giving joyful thanks to the Father. We're rooted and built up in Jesus, strengthened in the faith, overflowing with thankfulness. Or the peace of Christ rules our hearts, and we're to be thankful for that. Or whatever we do, whether we speak or act, we do it in the name of Jesus, and we give thanks to God. I want you to see the plurals there as well. They're important. They're a marker of a family, a church family that is watchful and thankful. And that's important because in the letter of Colossians, Paul's warning us about false teachers and false teaching creeping in. And he wants us to instead keep our eyes on Jesus. Keep in touch with Jesus. Devote yourselves to prayer. Be watchful and thankful. Watching and praying does all of that. It's just as Jesus said to his disciples in the moment of his crisis. What does he say to them? Watch and pray. And maybe we should note on the way past there, that wasn't the first time Jesus prayed. Jesus was not a crisis prayer. It was the very air he breathed. He was in constant touch with the Father. Devote yourselves to prayer. We feel that, don't we? I can stand here as a clergyman and tell you I don't pray enough. That's putting its finger on my problem. It might be doing the same for you. But live there for a second. That's not a bad thing to hear. Now that's prayer. We're also to talk about our evangelism. Paul says, make the most of every opportunity. So stay with me. If prayer is an internal church family activity, then this is external. Paul mentions outsiders, and he means unbelievers. And so we come to the big point again. Our internal life should reflect our external life. They should match. The way we are in church should match the way we are outside of church. And to that end, we're told that wisdom is the key. We're to be wise, or we're to walk in wisdom with outsiders. Now, that's obvious enough from the verse, but we must remember where we're reading this. We're reading this in the Bible. When Paul or anybody else mentions wisdom, it's biblical wisdom that they mean. It's not old wives' tales. It's not sayings from the past, which might be right, and they may even be wise, but they're not necessarily biblically wise. What is biblical wisdom? Well, it's actually something that Paul has already prayed for the Colossians. This is quite long, but it's worth hearing again. Paul says to them, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. Those are amazing words, aren't they? And what our verse does is it applies that prayer to people outside the church. And there might be your second dose of guilt this morning. We don't make the most of every opportunity, do we? We maybe miss them because we don't pray for them or pray about them. Or we worry ourselves, don't we, about these things, and we wimp out most of the time. Or we convince ourselves that such and such a person won't want to hear about Jesus, so we just don't bother. We are self-defeating when it comes to evangelism. I could say a lot about that, but to be clear and to be loving, because we need to hear this, friends, let me tell you what Paul means by making the most of every opportunity. We think he means we should wait for an opportunity, don't we? We should be ready just in case someone asks a question about our faith or asks something about church. And so we do that. We wait and we wait and we wait. Now, if that's you, that's a lot of us actually. You're not thinking of this verse. You're thinking of another one from 1 Peter 3. Peter says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give reason for the hope you have. That's a great verse. But come back to Colossians and spot the difference. This isn't waiting for anything. This is an active verse. But Paul uses it's a very complicated compound word here. I'll not bore you with it. But it's a word that's about investment. Think of that for a second. It literally means that we should be biblically wise and we're to invest in opportunities. It's literally, we should go and buy something out of an opportunity. We pursue it. It's active. It's not waiting. It's active. That means two things for us. Prayer, we've talked about. We pray for people. We talk to God about them. We ask for the opportunities to come right at us. No waiting. And the second is the rest of what Paul says here. Let your conversations be graceful, seasoned with salt, so that you know how to answer everyone. That's about investing in gospel opportunities, because Paul uses a very general word here for conversation. It's the word logos. You've heard that word before in church. Logos is just word or words. We read that at Christmas time when we hear that the word was with God, the logos was with God, and the word was God, the logos was God. It can mean anything from a casual conversation to a proclamation of the gospel. And I think Paul goes for a common word because he wants our talk about Jesus to be common as well, to be part of every type of conversation you have. But he also adds it as part of a triplet of words. Maybe you didn't know this. Paul loves triplets. This one is made up of three words, triplets: word, grace, and salt. Here they are in our verse. Words, grace, salt. And what you read there is that that will take our investment. We need to be praying for people. We need to be a Bible-loving people so that our conversation is seasoned with grace and salt. Do you know, I think we know that. It's not news to you that we should pray for people and try to talk to them about Jesus. You don't need to hear that. I think we hear that. We know it's hard. But I think it's hard because our motives are out of check. We need to be a praying people. We need to be a Bible-loving people. Maybe more than that, we need to be a people-loving people. Don't we? Folks, Christianity doesn't live in this building. It doesn't live in your heart. It only lives out in the world. The brilliant and great James Dunn says this: Paul envisages a church he expects to hold its own in the social setting of marketplace, the baths, and meal table, and to win attention to the attractiveness of its life and speech. I'll give you a minute on that. PCI is a long way off that, isn't it, at the moment? Ballygilbert could be too, unless you and I get back to being serious about praying and talking. I said at the beginning that you would either love or hate this message. It can really show us up, or it can call us back to God's mission. Folks, I can only pray for its encouragements for you. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let me pray for us. Father, you've lavished us with so many graces, from prayer to your word, but most of all, your Son. We pray for more devotion to all kinds of praying. We pray that we would watch again for the coming of Jesus. Lord, we ask for wisdom. We pray for the opportunity to speak to people about the gospel. And we pray for your help. In Jesus' name, amen.